About 50 people from the Amish community spread out across Chimney Rock and surrounding mountain towns. A new group of them coming down from their homes in Pennsylvania every week, sawing, nailing, building back community.
And out of 40, 50 Amish people, you probably got five different trades that are skilled crafted workers, either brick masons, decks, roofers, concrete work.
Brad Marshall with Christian nonprofit organization and disaster response group Spokes of Hope says their faith responders line up the work, resources, and material, and the Amish help get the jobs done.
And at the end of the week, we've got 15, 20 jobs done and hopefully about 8 or 10 people back in their homes.
Main Street here actually used to be full of about 6 feet of mud.
Business owners like Kristen Sotilli say this kind of help is what will ultimately get the village back up and running.
I don't know what we would have done without them. I mean, you know, not having to pay for labor and just having the help surmounts anything that we could be grateful for.
And homeowners like Bill Piercy, who had damage from a mudslide, say the Amish know how to build for the future. So if another storm rolls through, the community is better prepared.
They're hard workers and they're craftsmen, and they do it and they do it right. And so we're just really blessed.
The entire village of Chimney Rock is essentially a construction site, but business owners here say progress is being made and they hope to reopen by this summer.
Wow. You know what I didn't see? Guys, what did you not see in that report? What? Anybody? Oh, okay. Oh, well, I didn't see that either. Mexican immigrants. That was one. The other was a FEMA. I didn't see a FEMA official or a FEMA truck or a FEMA tarp. I didn't see anything from FEMA. Isn't that interesting? 50 Amish and a Christian organization providing the supplies. And who's that funded by? That's funded by people who give to the Christian charity to go fund these projects. They provide the materials. The Amish provide the labor and the know-how. Boom. I mean, what? That FEMA money should be going to the Amish. But they don't want that FEMA money. They don't want that dirty money. Crazy stuff. But it's a feel-good story. These are people who are giving back, and that's not even their community. They're like traveling from Pennsylvania down to North Carolina. Into the mountain areas. God bless the Amish. Good people. And they don't have autism. Funny. All right. This clip here. This is President Trump from a couple days ago announcing they've 100% caught Adam Schiff engaging in mortgage fraud. 100%. Here's clip 19.
You're a developer, very successful developer. How does a family afford to live in a one bedroom apartment?
No, it looks like Adam Schiff really did a bad thing. They have them. Now, let's see what happens. It's not up to me. It's not up to... I stay out of it purposely. But it's mortgage loan fraud. It's a big deal. He defrauded banks and insurance companies and the federal government. But it's very simple. It's mortgage loan fraud. And you're right. It's a lot of people to live in a one-bedroom apartment, right? But he put it down. But he has a lot of other things far worse than that. So, no, Adam Schiff, they have him 100% on... mortgage fraud. Now, if there's anybody else in this room except you, you would have no problem. But anybody else in this room, you'd have a problem. I'd have a problem.
Now, I wonder who he's saying who wouldn't have a problem. That's interesting. Documents show DOJ examining the handling of mortgage fraud investigation into Senator Schiff. What happened to the last mortgage fraud investigation from Letitia James? I mean, I had... a guest on who was like 100% she's going to get indicted. She did get indicted, but it got thrown out. Dimtards are above the law. Just remember that. So if you want to be above the law and engage in mortgage fraud, join the Dimtard party and rise into the ranks of race baiting and stealing from the public dole. And you too can commit mortgage fraud if you're a Dimtard. All right. Third hour starting up. Strap yourselves in. We got a lot more to cover. We'll be right back. I'm going to talk a little bit about the gunman at Mar-a-Lago. So stay tuned.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot. and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and a father and a guy loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Well, when my job here is done on the American Journal, sitting in for Brianna Morello, I will return to my editing desk and start working on, or finishing up, actually, a video about, well, I don't want to give it away, but if you are a member of the VIP club over at thealexjonesstore.com, where you pay $30 a month, but you get $40 a month in-store credit, you might find out some interesting things, some interesting deals that are coming your way. So check that out at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Here's a ex post from Mario Nafal. Bombshell: Epstein was under a secret DEA investigation for over 5 years and nobody knew. Huh. Nobody knew. And CBS found this out. The CIA broadcasting service found out a 69-page DEA memo buried in the Epstein files showing he was targeted in a 5-year federal investigation into wire transfers tied to illicit drug and or prostitution activities in the U.S. Virgin Islands and New York. Oh, yes. Epstein Island and 9/11, whatever street he lived on. Was it 9/11 Street? Or that was the house number? Well, his was 9. Lutnick's was 11. The case opened in 2010 and was still active in 2015 and tracked roughly $50 million in suspicious transfers linked to bank accounts in Switzerland, France, the Cayman Islands, and New York. 14 other targets are named in the memo, but fully redacted. The documents also reveal, I guess those are victims, right? Those must be victims. Well, I'll show you the document. There's a big, on the article here, from CBS News, newly unearthed DEA documents. There's a picture here of the document. Yeah. Look at all those redactions. Look, those are victims. Those are victims, okay? We are protecting the innocent. The wildest part, the SDNY prosecutor, Southern District of New York prosecutors who arrested Epstein in 2019 said they had no idea the DEA probe even existed. The document reveals multiple previously unknown investigations with Epstein connections, including ICE probes in West Palm Beach, Las Vegas, and Paris, and a separate FBI investigation opened in 2006 that was still active in 2015. Holy cow, what was this guy not involved in? Yet, you know, there's nothing to see. It's a hoax. Nothing to see. We have no idea who this guy is. For all we know, he was just a humble island merchant trying to set up his billionaire pals with young ladies. That's all it was. Yeah. All it was. Article out of the Gateway Pundit. Trump predicts Supreme Court will find a way to come to the wrong conclusion on birthright citizenship. He predicted they will not rule in favor of his executive order that directs federal agencies to only recognize babies born to people in the country legally as American citizens. That's the old anchor baby thing where... the Chinese are actually the worst at this. They fly here when they're 9 months pregnant, have the baby, and then they have a citizen. The baby becomes a citizen, and then they can just work their way in. So all Trump was saying, here's an executive order. You have to be, because we have the blood of the law and blood of the soil is what they call it. You're born here, you become a citizen. That's the soil. If your parents are Americans and you're born somewhere else, you're an American. It's law of the blood. And but what people have been doing is taking the law of the soil literally, going, as long as we get over that demarcation line, whether it's on the West Coast or on the Rio Grande, as long as we get across and have that baby, it's an American citizen. Then, by default, I can become an American citizen and get all the tax subsidies available. And so Trump said, there it is. Trump continued, the next thing you know, they will rule in favor of China and others who are making an absolute fortune on birthright citizenship by saying the 14th Amendment was not written to take care of the babies of slaves, as it was proven by the exact timing of its construction, filing, and ratification, which perfectly coincided with the end of the Civil War. And that's what it was. The slaves weren't considered citizens. So what they were saying is, now if you're born here and your parents were slaves, you're a citizen. We're trying to undo some wrongs. And so what did that turn into? The Chinamen going, hey, let's go make some citizens. Chinese birth tourism has flourished for the past 15 years, resulting in at least 750,000 and possibly as many as 1.5 million Chinese who are also American citizens by virtue of being born here and growing towards adulthood in China. Peter Schweitzer wrote that in the New York Post last month. Chinese nationals are entitled to vote in any U.S. election of their choosing and move freely within our borders. Senator Ted Cruz and Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio wrote in a brief to the Supreme Court in the case. The day he took office in January 2025, Trump issued an executive order designating those only born to parents subject to the jurisdiction of the United States or citizens, quoting the 14th Amendment. The impact would be children who are born to people who are not legal residents are not U.S. citizens. I agree with that. We'll see where it goes. Supreme Court, Trump says, seems to be controlled by foreign interests. That's why they said his tariffs were illegal. Mar-a-Lago gunman Austin Tucker, who has zero social media footprint, 21 years old, slipped through the employee exit. This is new. He was carrying a shotgun and a gas canister, entered the club by slipping through an exit gate as employees were leaving, it was revealed. He was shot and killed by Secret Service agents at President Trump's Seaside Club after he refused to drop his weapon and allegedly raised it to the firing position. I wonder if there's any video of this. You would think there's probably video everywhere on Mar-a-Lago, right? You'd think there'd be some video of this. And what I'm surprised is that there's no whistleblowing protesters right outside Mar-a-Lago, mourning the life of this kid, because they seem to, anytime someone gets shot by the government, they seem to be there mourning that person as a saint and innocent dolphin. A spokesperson for the Secret Service confirmed that he was entering through there as he tried to leave. Daily Mail reached to the FBI for comment, who took over the investigation. Martin was killed at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday at Trump's resort in Palm Beach, Florida, after entering with a gas can and shotgun. And there's the picture of him. His parents and family are big Trump supporters, so they're wondering, you know, why this guy was doing this. I would say check and see if he's on Discord. Oh, but there's no social media footprint. But what you're finding is Discord is being used as sort of like a honeypot ground or a patsy ground. They're looking for these patsies, people they can turn some way or another. They take a little bit of angst and be like, hey, you know, maybe you can drive to Mar-a-Lago with a shotgun and a gas can. Hey, maybe that's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that. So he left his $1.1 million home in Cameron, North Carolina around 1 p.m. That's not like him at all, they said. Maybe he got busted doing something online and people will blackmail you. The 764 group is known to do this to people. They say they're going to out him doing something nefarious, like spanking the monkey or something, and these people do whatever they want. Here's another set of good news. Public Storage moving headquarters out of L.A. Public Storage, the world's largest self-storage company, is leaving its Glendale home of more than 50 years and moving its corporate headquarters to Frisco, Texas. The company operates more than 250 million square feet at 3,500 locations in 40 states. Also, In-N-Out Burger plans to split its management between Baldwin Park and Nashville. And let's see. They're saying Dallas, you know, Texas has gained 100 companies between 2018 and 2024, while L.A., Los Angeles, California has lost 106. Public Storage announced the deal to move to a newly constructed building in the Dallas suburb of Frisco at the same time as a stable of new leaders came on board, whose CEO, Joe Russell, retires next month. He will be replaced by Tom Boyle. The opportunity ahead for Public Storage has never been stronger. I wonder how much they got in tax subsidies from Greg Abbott, who has been known to do that. He does like to woo companies here with tax subsidies. The parents of Public Storage founder B. Wayne Hughes fled the Dust Bowl of the Oklahoma 1930s and settled in El Monte, just east of downtown Los Angeles. He won a scholarship and was a lifelong supporter of the school, donating over $400 million to USC until he died in 2021. The billionaire could still be seen in his old jeans hanging out at fast food joints and loved the races in Santa Anita. I always like watching Storage Wars, watching people open up the storage units and bid on those items and then trying to find stuff and then selling it, keeping the economy moving, bringing back treasures. Here's another good news story. Scholar of the far right complains the move from U.S. to Canada to flee Trump has backfired horribly. Oh, imagine that. You mean Canada has laws? Huh. The self-proclaimed scholar of the far right was blasted on social media after she fled the United States. Nope Brigade is an academic researcher who studies conservative and right-wing ideologies and recently fled from the current Trump administration to Vancouver. Well, that's a nice city, but one of the world's priciest. Vancouver really is nice, a nice-looking city. It's kind of away from Montreal and where's the other, what's the other big city over there? Toronto. Yeah. Toronto's kind of a dung heap. Brigade posted on social media begging for help after she and her family moved from Los Angeles, only to be hit with an even worse affordability crisis. For those who don't know, the housing crisis here is way worse than like in the US, she said. I've lived in LA for 6 years and I haven't faced rent as bad here. She explained she, her partner, and their pets moved to Vancouver. That's their kids, their pets, moved to Vancouver on a visitor visa, which prevents them from working. Oh, imagine that. They relocated with savings set aside, but are quickly burning through the funds and struggling to afford the skyrocketing rent. In Canada, like, the cost of living is like way worse here, she said. Especially when you're shut out of the healthcare system and can't access any of the resources. Wait, I thought they had free healthcare. I thought Canada had free healthcare. Why aren't they taking this poor migrant? And that's understandable because I'm not a citizen of the country. Oh, really? Oh, it's understandable in Canada? Are you serious? So she understands that she can't get free healthcare in Canada, but I guarantee you, this lesbian supports free healthcare. Nothing against lesbians. I'm just qualifying her haircut. This lesbian with a butch haircut, probably, I could say with 99% certainty, she is for migrants getting healthcare here in the United States. Because healthcare is a right, right? Healthcare is a right. Healthcare is a right unless you move from the United States to Canada. Then it's understandable that you don't get free healthcare. You see how that liberal logic's working? She's bemoaning the situation and she's asking for places to stay. You know, she wants more than just a room, ideally a free or at below market rates. So most visitors allow stays up to 6 months, and work permits are only granted to those with a temporary resident permit valid for 6 months or longer, according to the Government of Canada. Yeah, one user wrote on TikTok, "Ma'am, no matter what happens, please stay there. Sign the United States of America," with the Canadian replying, "You kidding? We don't want her either." All I heard was a lot of criticism regarding the places she chose to flee, and then after the criticism was request for money, another outraged user wrote. So there you go. That's what happens. The grass is not always greener on the other side. Let's go to this video. Speaking of L.A., here's a sheriff. Sacramento sheriff slams Gavin Newsom's elderly parole program. Basically, he's bitching about they're letting out this pedophile that was literally using the free candy van to attract children, and they want to let this guy go. What do you think he's going to do? He's going back to the free candy. We know that. We know that's what's going to happen. Here's the clip. Clip 15.
I got a phone call from a retired sheriff sergeant who used to work child abuse back in 1995 about this case, David Allen Funston. He helped investigate it. He was angry because he read he was being released. I had no idea about it, read the LA Times article, saw what they had spoken, and got the wheels rolling. So yesterday, they printed out probably thousands of pages, arrest reports on Mr. Funston, of the cases he did. And take us back to 1995. He was out preying on children in the Sacramento area. We're talking children as young as 3 to the age of 7, molesting them. One young girl in North Highlands kidnapped her, molested her very viciously, drove her to Placerville, and kicked her out of the car after punching her. Think about that.
Well, that sounds like a guy we should release.
He was caught eventually through the hard work of the sheriff's office, did a great job investigating it. Thousands of pages of interviews of children. And one thing about these kids, they were resilient. They did an amazing job IDing him. And back then, as a parent or anyone around kids, hey, don't take candy from strangers. Don't follow anyone. Don't get in someone's car. This is what he did. Lured him with candy, Barbie dolls, toys, and abused these kids horrifically. Horrifically. He was given 3 consecutive terms, 20-year terms. He should have been in prison the rest of his life. Unfortunately, in 2020, a bill was passed that made folks eligible for parole as early as 50 years of age once they serve 20 years. So he qualifies. He's 64 years old. I'm 62. That is dead wrong. These children, he ruined their lives. And now he's eligible. And the damage he's done, he stole their childhoods. And my issue is the parole board. I read the reports. They're horrific. You've seen some of the things he did. There's no explanation. You can't explain it away. There are some folks that deserve a second chance in life. Someone that does these type of things, they don't deserve a second chance in life. What are we coming to as a society here in California that it's okay with this, to let him out? You think about some of the offenders that do the child abuse cases, child molest cases. Typically, they're older males. Now we're seeing a lot of folks in their 20s and 30s. So under the law, and we have folks in their 20s that have pending cases right now, they can be out by the time they're 50, having done 20 years. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Someone has to speak up about it, and we've got to change this. So he lured these kids, kidnapped the kids, kidnapped 2 sisters. He was convicted of 16 counts of kidnapping, child molestation, with multiple young children. Remember, the youngest victim, 3 years of age. Sentenced over 20 years in prison, as well as 3 additional consecutive sentences. Consecutive, not concurrent, as if they follow each other. A judge in Sacramento described him, and I'll say this, as the monster parents fear most. Yet today, the parole board decided he is suitable for release. We can't have this. It's got to change. And in California, it's battle after battle when it comes to our children. A few years ago, we're fighting human trafficking of a child. That wasn't a violent felony. Had to fight to get it passed. They got it passed. Now we're dealing with mental health aversion. You can kill your 1-year-old infant and get your record expunged and go work with other kids. What in the hell is going on in California?
What the hell is going on in California? And you guys keep electing that guy as governor? And you're going to elect some fat-looking pedophile coming up? Is her name Katie something? She looks like a pedophile. I don't know if she is. Looks like one. Disgusting Karen. Oh, boy. But hey, you know, I guess that's what you get when you have unlimited mail-in ballots. Unlimited mail-in ballots. That's what you get. You get criminals being put, you get pedophiles, free candy pedophiles. In the white van, pulling up, grabbing kids, snatching them, and molesting them. That's disgusting. This is a clip from a, I had it in front of me, but I moved all my clips. Here we go. This is from a Senate Committee on State Affairs. And they're talking about the COVID vaccine testing. This kind of goes to our government. Our government just says all this stuff is okay. Oh, you don't, all the animals died in your testing experiments? Okay, let's give them directly to people. That's cool. Let's mandate it. That's what your government does to you. Clip 17.
And have you seen any other vaccine that was put out for the public that skipped the animal test?
Never before. Skipped. Especially for children.
And as I've, what I've read, they actually started the animal test, and because the animals were dying, they stopped the test.
Correct.
Folks, I think that's important to understand there, that what we're talking about is American people are now the guinea pigs. This is the test program that's going on. They didn't do the human testing, and they stopped the animal test because the animals were dying. And then they turned it out for the public. And we are now looking at businesses that want to mandate that this experimental vaccine be given to people as a condition of their employment. And yet we have this death count that continues to rise and be totally ignored.
And in addition, when the FDA was talking about giving it to kids, they're like, well, we have to give it to the kids to see what it does, because we're not going to test it on the kids. We'll just test it in real life. We'll just give it to everybody, give it to all these kids and see what happens. And we're seeing the fallout from that 5 years later. We're seeing massive heart problems, autoimmune problems, lung problems, blood problems. We spoke up. We told people to avoid the shot. A lot of people didn't listen. And that's sad. All right, once again, you can fund all the work you're seeing here. We do a 10-hour broadcast day every day live from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central here at the InfoWars Central Texas Command Center. You can go to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now we're running a sale till midnight Wednesday. You get $10 off any purchase. So you got the autographed posters. You've got a whole host of other things. Like methylene blue, methylene red, the energy shots, the mind fuel energy shots. We've got methylene red. So many things that support what we're doing here. The t-shirts, the ball caps, the hoodies. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I'm your host, Rob Dude. Thank you for watching. Brianna Morello should be in tomorrow, God willing. Alex Jones is up next at Real Alex Jones.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah, it's...
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones' Methylene Blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on it.
This Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I got to tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com. The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch live right now at band.video.
Psych. I told y'all I thought that was the end of the broadcast day. That was a false start on my part. In my mind, I was like, all right, I got these videos. I got these articles. I'm going to finish them up. And I knew I had a guest, but for some reason it had clicked that I was finishing the show. And the audio board operator goes, it's only 10:30. And I'm like, all right, the beatings will continue until morale approves. My guest is Daryl Day. He's a congressional candidate for Texas Congressional District 32. That's Northeast Dallas, Richardson, and Plano. He is at D-A-Y-F-O-R Texas, Day for Texas. And the primary is on March 3rd. It's coming up, and he's running in an 8-person race. And welcome, Daryl. What's your prognosis? How you doing out there in District 32?
Things are going well. Things are going well. Like you said, we've got a crowded race, but a very interesting race. We have one guy in the race who suddenly is just deluged by PAC money. We call him Deep State Jace, and suddenly over $1 million of money from Delaware and Virginia and Ohio suddenly poured into this race. Why do people in Washington, D.C. care about who wins this GOP primary? And like I said, this guy suddenly has all kinds of money that's poured in from these deep state PACs.
Yeah, and it would seem, you know, that's the thing with Texas. It seems to be a lot of Republicans are actually turn out to be Rhino slash Democrats. And maybe this looks like it could be one of those cases. What is Jace's background?
Well, he's an attorney. So when he's in the city, he talks about suing people. And when he's in the country, because CD 32 goes from North Dallas all the way almost to the Louisiana border. So we've got a lot of rural areas. When he's out in the country, he talks about having a pickup truck and he and his wife have a chicken. When he's in the city, he talks about suing people. But he's an attorney, and he suddenly has just at warp speed, suddenly has all this money that has flowed in. And Ballotpedia says it's a three-man race between me and him and a man named Ryan Binkley. And Ryan and I both have, we've made our money. We can't be bought. I don't know. Did the deep state figure, here's somebody who's more vulnerable who can be bought? I don't know how it happened, but I do know that the other people in the race can't be bought. And, you know, our big problem is people go to Washington and they get seduced by the swamp, right? We've been betrayed a million times. People go to Washington, they say the right things on the campaign trail, and they get to Washington and they suddenly become operatives of the deep state. You know, is it because they're gutless or because they're compromised by the deep state? Or is it just, you know, hey, I've gotten here and I like the money and the power. And Nancy Pelosi said she liked the access to inside trading information. And suddenly they don't work for the American people anymore. They work for the deep state. And that is the number one problem. And I'll tell you, I'm ticked off. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore that we've got these gutless politicians going to Washington and not working for the American people anymore. I am just so ticked off at these gutless politicians that aren't working for the American people. Who are they working for? Are they just working for the deep state? Big pharma, big food? I just know that they're not working for the American people. Our taxes keep going up and we have less and less to show for it. And I'll tell you, we got to get back to this right here. The U.S. Constitution is the founding, obviously, document of our country, and it is the mooring of our country. We've got to get back to this, because without this, without adherence to the U.S. Constitution, we are just plastic bags blowing in the wind. And a lot of countries have constitutions. A lot of people don't know. Russia has a constitution surprisingly like ours. But obviously, they don't adhere to it, and they've got a strongman dictator that runs the place. We have people that go to Washington, and they put their hand on the Bible, and they swear to stand up for the Constitution, and damn it, then they don't do it. They don't do it. Less than 42% of Democrats, according to the JBS Freedom Index, actually adhere to the Constitution on important constitutional votes, and there are a lot of Republicans that are under 50% on the JBS Freedom Index. Now, people that we like Senator Ted Cruz, they're very, very high on that Freedom Index. They adhere to the Constitution. But we've got so many people that don't. And I'm just ticked off. I am mad at people that go to Washington and they ignore the Constitution and they ignore the American people and they go to work for the deep state. There, my rant is over. Please continue with your beautiful questions.
Well, I like that. Let me ask you this. It looks like we have a looming war with Iran, or at least some sort of military incursion with our Air Force and Navy being ramped up in that area. I think over half our Air Force is there now. Do you see Iran as a threat to the United States? Or do you side, like right now it looks like Israel wants us to bomb Iran to be part of their operation. And we can debate whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But do you think initially we should be involved in a conflict in the Middle East, which could end up like the same thing what we had with Iraq and Afghanistan, where we're mired in there for years. We have troops there for years. They're getting picked off slowly. I mean, where do you see this going? Is there a path for peace?
You know, I'm an America First guy. So is Iran bothering the American way of life right now? No. Now, that said, is Iran a bad actor and they've exported terrorism all over the world? They absolutely have. They have very bad actor. I hope for regime change. But do I want the U.S. military to go in and start another forever war? I don't. As an America First guy, I want us to focus on America. Before we put all that money into a conflict in the Middle East, let's rebuild our roads. Let's rebuild our bridges. Let's get back to taking care of America. Now, is it possible that we could go in and there'd be a very, very quick strike and it'd be over in a hurry? That's possible. It's also possible that we get mired in yet another forever war. And we've already seen the effects of the military buildup in the Middle East. We've seen gas prices that have zoomed up by 50 cents a gallon just in the last week. And what I want is to continue building U.S. energy production so that we don't have to care what goes on in the Middle East. Let's drill, baby, drill. Let's employ an all-of-the-above energy strategy. Let's get back to nuclear energy, which we've steered away from for 30 years, but it could be a very important part of the energy mix. Let's get back to building U.S. domestic energy production so we don't have to give a hell what goes on in the Middle East. Now, like I said, is Iran a bad actor? Do I hope Israel takes them out? I do. That's Israel's fight. I don't see that as our fight.
Okay. Let's look at Greenland and then possibly, I think it's Alberta. Alberta's looking at possibly seceding from Canada. Greenland, not necessarily looking to secede, but we're looking to build some influence there and possibly some military defensive positioning. What are your stances on those two issues right there? Would you welcome the Alberta region to be absorbed into the United States or work with them if they were their own separate country from Canada?
I have to be honest. I haven't heard about Alberta thinking about breaking away. Greenland would be great. I think we should buy Greenland. Denmark's done nothing to develop the country. Greenland's got some rare earth minerals and, of course, the strategic implications of Greenland. So I don't know where the bidding starts, but I think that we should buy Greenland, and I think we can protect Greenland. Right now, Greenland's a sitting duck. The people that live in Greenland have to understand they are completely unprotected. If China swoops in there tomorrow, Denmark's not going to lift a finger. So we need to buy Greenland and at a reasonable price and for strategic reasons, if not just the rare earth minerals. I understand that there's over $1 trillion in rare earth minerals in Greenland. So, yeah, let's move aggressively in that way. And fortunately, we've got a great president running the show who is the deal maker. So, President Trump, let's make some deals on Greenland.
Well, I think he has done a pretty good job at least you know, he puts out a big game in the beginning and everybody goes, oh, no, we're not going to do anything. We're going to, he goes, well, I just want to do this. And they're like, oh, okay, maybe that's a good idea. Right. And which I think is right. What he wanted originally, you know, just put some,
the art of the deal,
put some bases
the
on
art
there. Yeah.
Of the deal.
Right. And and people don't realize that that's what he's doing half the time. The Europeans don't get it yet. What I'm not asking to pick a side in the Russian-Ukrainian war, but do you see a path for peace in Russia and Ukraine? And do you agree that it's going to include of Ukraine losing some land? Because it looks like what Russia's doing now is setting up sort of a DMZ because they've kind of stopped advancing and they're just kind of fortifying an area, you know, in the Donbass region. Are you for something like that? If that's key to a peace deal?
You know, first off, kudos to Ukraine, the Ukrainian people fighting valiantly. I mean, when Russia invaded, you know, you and I probably thought it was about a two-month deal, right, that Russia would just sweep across the Ukraine. Talk about one of the tremendous military successes in history is Ukraine, little Ukraine, fighting off the Russian war machine. That's another thing that is not our fight. It's not our fight. Support the Ukraine people. Going to privately make donations to Ukraine, but that's not our fight. Is it very likely that Ukraine needs to give up some of their territory for a lasting peace? I'd say it's probably the best deal that they can get. I mean, again, they're negotiating from a position of weakness. They're positioned against a formidable military force that outnumbers them and can just keep throwing money and bodies at the war, and Ukraine can't. So I think it's time for Ukraine to realize where their bargaining position is, what is a reasonable solution, and get a solution done and end this very, very long war. But wow, the Ukrainian people fighting like we've seldom seen in the history of warfare. And kudos to Ukraine for what they have done in this war.
Do you see, so the Europeans have framed this as, if we don't stop Putin here, he's going to invade Poland, he's going to invade other Eastern European countries and then make his way into Europe. Do you see that as a real threat, or do you see that as just a reason for them to keep this war going?
Yeah, that's just a reason to keep it going. I don't buy that at all. If over 3 years he can't take over tiny Ukraine, does he think that he can take over Poland, a NATO country with the backing of the U.S.? I mean, if he put one step in Poland, he'd be a dead duck. So I don't see any scenario where he tries to sweep across Europe. I mean, with or without the U.S. help, I think that European countries probably can withstand anything. But obviously, we would stand with our European allies if anything like that happened. And thanks to President Trump, again, we've seen the NATO alliance start to put more money into their defense. They can't count on Big Daddy U.S. doing the job anymore. They've got to take care of their own defense, and very delighted. I mean, one of many things that I've loved about President Trump's second term is him forcing the Europeans to honor their commitments to NATO. And again, he's not forcing them to do any special thing. He's just encouraging them, gently, sweetly encouraging them to honor their damn commitments that they've made to the NATO alliance to step up their defense budgets.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little more than gently and sweetly. It's more like, you know, holding their feet to the fire, which he should be doing, because, you know, this is made for them. NATO was made for Europe. It wasn't made for the United States. It was made to, you know, sort of help protect Europe from a future supposed dictator.
Right.
All right. The Epstein files. This has been, I think Trump thought it was going to go away in 2 weeks. It's not. In fact, it seems to be growing more and more. We just found out that he was under a DEA investigation for the last, you know, from 2010 to 2015. It was just some memo, a 60-page memo they found. With the DEA, he was also under FBI investigation that were active up until 2015. Do you support what some representatives are claiming they're going to do, is go in and actually read unredacted names and, like, you know, put some of this out there, people who weren't victims, but people who are, you know, perpetrators who I think deserve accountability? What's your view on that, of congressmen kind of taking the law into their own hands and just putting the names out there, you know, going behind the federal government?
I want all the Epstein files released. Obviously, redact the names of the victims, but I want them all released. And if every single member of Congress is implicated because of that, then let the chips fall where they may. I want, for the sake of the victims, I want all those files released. And now I want to talk about it for a minute. For 4 years under Biden, the media had no interest in the Epstein files.
Right.
Zero interest. And suddenly, when Trump is elected again, suddenly the media cares deeply about the victims. What a pile of crap. The media said not a word about the Epstein files for 4 years under Biden. So this is, again, political theater. Let's call it what it is. It's just like the Minneapolis riots. It's political theater, and it's intended only to hurt President Trump. But now, you know, let's get the files out there. And Pam Bondi needs to do a better job. I mean, it was, what, 6 months ago, she said, oh, the files are ready to be released. I mean, bad job, Pam Bondi, to tease that and then make it look like it's a cover-up when the files aren't released for 6 months. So Pam Bondi has bungled it, but it's time for the American people to see everybody implicated and exactly what happened. And I want to know everything that Maxwell knows. And if it gets her out of jail so that we finally find out what really happened and who should be implicated, then let's come clean. Let's open up the files. Obviously, sunshine is the best disinfectant. Let's find everything that happened in that sordid, disgusting cesspool of pedophilia on Epstein Island.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. It's and it's a shame that they had the Trump administration had a chance to really, you know, be forthcoming and get this information out there, really work on it. And it seemed like it took an act of Congress, literally, to get these released. And then the fumble after fumble after fumble. Would you support replacing Pam Bondi? And who would you support as being her replacement if she was replaced?
You know, this is a very, very high-profile case, and she hasn't gotten the job done. So would I support replacing her? I would. I don't know the best replacement. I'm sure we can find better than Pam Bondi and Bill Barr to take over that job. We have we've got some pretty good cabinet members this time around. President Trump has been right on policy every time. He's botched it on personnel sometimes. Let's call a spade a spade. Sometimes he's blown it on personnel. And let's find a great AG, a very aggressive AG that can finish the job here.
Yeah, I think people need to be held accountable. We haven't seen anything on COVID. We haven't on the COVID, whatever you call it, the COVID scam that they used, and, you know, people died as a result of that. We haven't seen anything on the 2020 election, although we have seen some movement in at least gathering evidence out of Fulton County, Georgia. But we haven't seen, you know, once again, we haven't seen anybody go to jail with this. You know, it'd be interesting to see if Nicolas Maduro ends up being an informant in some of this stuff. Let's jump back to Texas real quick. They had a redrawing of the Texas congressional map. Did that redrawing you know, influence you to enter the race in any way?
Well, I was the GOP nominee 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So when this district was a minus 31 for Republicans, I ran 2 years ago. We actually knocked 8 points off the Democrats' lead in CD32. We probably put it on the Texas legislature's radar. If we would have underperformed by 9 points, it would have been minus 40. Legislature probably wouldn't even have looked at CD32. Because we turned it into minus 23, they looked at it and said, you know, maybe that is winnable. So, yes, CD32 is one of the five districts that have been redrawn to be stronger Republican. And now it's gone from minus 23 to a plus 18. So this can be a very, very strong Republican seat. So I ran 2 years ago when it was a suicide mission just to try to, you know, chisel away at the Democrats' lead. But I've lived in this district for 20 years. I've built a business in this district. I've raised my kids in this district. So CD32 is dear, near and dear to my heart. That's why I'm running. I'm not going to run in any other district. I'm not going to run in some district that I don't live in. And that's it's kind of funny because two of the people that have gotten the out-of-state PAC money and Deep State Jace that I mentioned earlier is one of them, doesn't even live in the damn district. Doesn't live in the district, lives an hour outside the district, and now he's getting out-of-state PAC money. So somebody who doesn't live in the district is getting money from Virginia PACs, from getting money from the deep state for a race that, I mean, why doesn't he run in his own district? I mean, deep state, Jace, is very troubling to me because, as I mentioned earlier, our big problem is people getting to D.C. and being corrupted by the swamp, being corrupted by the deep state. And now you've got somebody who's already been bought and paid for by the deep state. Are they going to represent the people of CD32? Are they going to represent the American people? Are they going to stand for the Constitution? Are they just going to represent the deep state?
Looks and like a little pregame, buy-off. What we got going on there? Have you debated? Has there been a debate for the 8 candidates running?
We've had several candidate forums. A couple of them have just kind of dropped out of view. But like I said, Ballotpedia says it's a 3-man race between me and a pastor and deep state Jace. So that's where we are right now. 3 of us trying to make it into what will likely be a 2-man runoff. So that's where we are right now.
All right. So, yeah, you're pushing for the runoff, and then the real debates would begin at that point.
Right. Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Where can people find your website?
It's dayfortexas, dayfortexas.com. And since we're fighting against all this PAC money, if somebody wants to chip in $100, that would be great. If they want to chip in $3,000, that'd be great too. But we're fighting a flood of out-of-state money pouring into CD32. It's a flood of money and supporting a candidate that doesn't even live in the district. So, yes, I hope your viewers can help us out. We still feel good about where we are. There have been 4 straw polls, and we've won 3 of them. So I think the grassroots are realizing what's happening. I think the grassroots are supporting us. And we've been endorsed by more than 50 GOP precinct chairs. And those are people that get out, and they work their neighborhoods, and they call their neighbors. And we are a true grassroots campaign. A lot of people say they're grassroots candidates. We actually are, and it's actually the grassroots that support us. So,
all right, we're wrapping up right here. I got about 15 seconds left. It's at Dave for Texas. Check him out there. Also, if you want to support us, thealexjonesstore.com with all the best supplements and Patriot gear. Coming up next now is Alex Jones at Real Alex Jones and at InfoWars. We'll see you tomorrow. InfoWarriors?
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have 2 hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. And it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.